How do you like it? What's up, Babs? Wait. Why can't I hear you? Hold on. By the way, you're listening to Love Babs Love Talk on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, streaming live from newhavenindependent.org, and streaming live on right off the green, downtown New Haven. And now let's see if we can hear Babs. Babs?
I'm here. I'm talking.
Oh, my God.
Can you hear me?
Oh, my God. And we got Babs. Babs is in the building.
Are you in New Haven?
I'm in New Haven again.
Whoa, Harry.
Yeah.
I listened to Stand the Man yesterday. It was great. Good morning, everybody. I'm Babs Rosavi. That's Harry Jones. Welcome to Love Babs Love Talk. It's Friday Eve, Thursday. So the weather is nice, Harry, although I needed to be a little hotter.
The only issue I had yesterday with being in New Haven is that listening back to the show, I was coming in and out because of the mic. I'm off mic. It's like now I have to have this mic in my face.
Yes. You do. I need to buy a mic and a thing too, but I don't know when I'm gonna do that. So for now, my little Bose ear set and mic will have to just be all right for now. People can hear me.
Yeah, but in the studio, you literally have to talk directly into the mic.
You sound very loud too.
Am I
very close? I mean, you sound very close.
Yeah, and that's another thing, right? So. Is getting used to the audio levels. Like Stan. Stan yesterday, he was literally in the studio alone. I mean, I kept coming in and out. But he did his whole show with his mask on.
Really?
Yeah, which, you know, I get. I'm not doing mask shaming or anything if anybody thinks that. But it's just, at times,
but that's why he sounded a little different.
Yeah, he was muffled. So
yes, that's what it was.
It was his mask. Next week, I'm going to set up outside the studio. This way, he has the liberty to take off the mask.
Okay.
I mean, if he wants to. Because even when I was out for about 40 minutes, you know, I have control of the camera so I can look into the studio. So, and he was still masked the whole time.
Yeah, you just tell him, like, hey. But, you know, you I think you need to invest in an air purifier for that room, for the studio.
Yeah.
I know you got an equipment budget. Get one.
Or maybe I won't. This way nobody comes to the studio.
Hurry, you cannot stop progress. So you might as well work with it instead of against it.
Yeah.
Get an air purifier. And I know you'll get like a big one because you'll want that air clean.
Well, you know, over here is so complicated, right? So whatever I plug in, Norma's worried about the electricity I'm wasting. So
tell Norma it's not like electricity in the old country.
I know. I'm like this. Why did I hear an echo?
I don't know.
The refrigerator I have in the studio, literally, if you look at the energy cost, it's like $21 for the whole year, right?
Yeah.
And when I was in here, it got unplugged because the electricity was wasting. So, you know, and I tell them because Paul said, hey, look, I'll pay for whatever electricity costs. Just
leave stuff plugged in.
Yeah, leave like my fan. Thank God it.
I'm like Norma. Well, I mean, it's not like you got a band playing in there every night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we put a lot of electricity here. We have everything plugged in here.
That's
all the time.
That's a mess that Norma grew up with. Her mother probably was like, "Turn off those lights. Turn off that record player. Turn off that." You know, all that stuff.
Yeah, you remember if you had the refrigerator open too long, you were wasting electricity. now the kids go, they're on their phone, they're thinking about this, they walk around the kitchen, the door's open the whole time. The one thing Karen does yell about with Bella, she says, do you pay my electricity bill? Because every room Bella goes in, the light goes on.
Never turns off.
Yeah.
Tell Karen she'll get her revenge when Bella grows up. You go to her house and flip on all the damn lights.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do when my kids get their own place. And like, let's go over there and turn on all the lights. No, they good. My kids are good. They learned at a very young age to turn off stuff. And, you know. So, you know, we got guests at 10:15.
Yep.
Okay. We've got... and they were supposed to be here like months ago. Remember Harry? And they didn't show up. They got confused. So Ann Harrison, communications director for Workforce Alliance, American Job Center, and the project CEO coordinator, Kalua Pierce Burgess. So they're coming on this morning to talk about their summer youth project, summer youth training and employment thing. So they're gonna come out at 10:15 to talk about that. So that'll be exciting, because I think everybody's concerned about what are we gonna do with these young people. You know, there was some concern about, you know, what would be available for work. But you know, there's so much jobs out here now.
Yeah, there's over 9 million jobs and something like a tick under 4 million people looking for jobs. So there's twice the amount of jobs, at least twice.
Okay.
And I was actually talking to a immigration person yesterday, a pro, you know, open borders person, and they were talking, and what they said made so much sense, right? Can argue with it, because he said, you need all the immigrants now. No Americans want to work.
Listen, listen, Harry, when that wine production stops, when you can't get your vegetables and fruits, you know, you want to have all these barbecues, and then you're like, oh.
Well, you know, this mic. So that's not the only thing. Can you hear me, Babs?
Yes, I hear you, Harry.
I can't hear myself.
Well, anyway, put your headset back on. It
gives me a headache. Now I'm not used to the headset.
Well, how are you going to hear yourself if you don't have the headset on?
Well, I have the studio loud, so hopefully. Anyway, but yeah, but that's not the only jobs immigrants do. You know, they're not just picking fruit and vegetables.
No, they're doing a lot of things.
They're doing a lot of things. And all of them that are coming now are coming to work. So Americans need to get up and out of their houses, because they're coming to get the jobs.
Wow.
Did you see the CEO of J.P. Morgan? Was it J.P. Morgan? That, he's requiring that all of his employees go back to the office. I just hope they're not expecting the same production out of people. If you were twice as productive at home, they better not expect that in the office, because it's different. It's a totally different animal. And like this morning, getting up for the second day in a row, I got to go do a lot of things. I got to stretch and everything just to get out my house, just to get out the... You know, it is a lot of stress getting myself up and to work, right? So, and then paid for gas, paid for breakfast. Oh, my God. I am just in a couple of days... I'm actually paying to come to work a lot. So the cost of working is serious. So I know people who've been working from home all this time and actually been able to save money because they've been working from home, are going to suffer having to come back, especially with the gas prices going up and everything. So,
well,
got to get up earlier.
All right.
Life is not easy. It ain't easy being cheap. All right, I have to actually put this headset on.
So, guess who stopped by the porch yesterday? Alyssa, you know, we were talking about Alyssa Mercado, and she stopped by the porch yesterday and brought me some beer.
Oh.
And, you know, she's got this new collab with Sam Adams. It's a woman's collaboration. So they took her South African hops and made Up Tempo. Yes. So she didn't bring me that beer because that one hasn't launched yet. But it is launching. It's a sparkling lager. I can't wait. I told her I can't wait to taste it. I don't know what a sparkling lager is, but they used her hops. So I'm excited. I'm excited. So I can't wait. Can't wait.
Yeah, so they use, see, I don't know how any of this stuff works, but hops are...
Hops are what you use to make the beer.
The ingredients in a beer, right?
Yes.
So it's like the barley and stuff like that?
Yes. Well, not barley, but hops.
Yeah.
The main ingredient.
And you said they used her African hops?
South African hops, yes.
So she gets it from... So that has to be expensive to put that beer together.
No, you can grow South African hops here, I believe.
Oh, that wouldn't be South African.
They are. They're from South Africa, but you can grow them here.
Those would be American hops.
No, they're not American hops. They're grown here, but they're not from here. It's not like humans, Harry. You don't have to.
Oh, the potatoes were brought. The potatoes were brought here, right?
Collard greens are not American. They are from Africa. Yams are from Africa.
Okra
is from Africa. Black eyed peas are from Africa.
By the way, I left this morning and the guy had boxes of yam from Africa this morning. You know?
Yeah.
I think I'm the only one with a camera in the area. I might have to take some yam.
They might have a camera too, Harry.
I don't see it. Maybe it's hiding in the box.
So I don't want you to.
No, I know.
I don't want you to get caught out there.
I just want to get some of what they're cooking. That's it.
Harry, all you gotta do is be neighborly.
I'm a simple guy. Just bring me over some food.
Be neighborly, Harry. So anyway, speaking of Africans, Mike Moran popped by yesterday with Ernest from Ghana, and Ernest is the Minister of Development for Ghana. So you know, he spends his time going around the world, I guess, having conversations with other countries about how they can invest in Ghana. Anyway, he was on the porch yesterday. It was very nice to talk to him. And he brought me some makeup from Africa.
Wow, so your porch is open for business.
I guess.
You are open for business. You're like a trading post.
It went international yesterday, Harry.
I know.
It went straight international yesterday when you had somebody from Ghana on your porch, you know. And Mike Moran walked him all over New Haven, Harry. They walked from Fairhaven to Worcester Square to Dixwell, back up through Newhallville. And then they were heading over to just up the hill from Newhallville, whatever that, the Whitney Avenue community, East Rock community. They was walking over that way. And then they was going to get picked up. I was like, and now you're going to get picked up? Harry, that brother was tied when he hit that porch.
So did you have lemonade and stuff ready?
I did. I had iced water with lemons in it, and I had salsa and some chips and some guacamole, some grapes.
See,
red and white grapes.
It's the International Festivals of Arts and Ideas at Babs' house.
How you know when people come to your house, it's custom to be hospitable?
No, but they might come back.
That's the idea, Harry. You want people to come back.
Yeah.
You want people to come back. So, the porch has its own... The porch has its own life. You know what I mean? Like, it has really become a destination. As Mike Moran, a cultural hub. It's become a cultural hub.
Yep, and on Fridays in the early evening, she has a live band playing on the side. So.
Listen, that's not out of the realm of possibility, Harry.
Your neighbors are going to be shaking their fists at you.
No, they dig it. I mean, I've had musicians play. You know, Brian Slatery and his son came and played for my birthday last year at the height of the pandemic. They played on the corner, on the street. They went on the sidewalk and played. It was beautiful. I had drummers come. I've had Phil Brown has come and banged some drums for a hot second.
Yeah. So,
you know. Rafael Ramos and Eric Ray, they played on the street. Love to have them come back.
That's kind of insane how people are just gravitating towards Babs' porch.
I don't know if it's insane. You know what? It's a real sense of community, Harry. You know what? It's just an old school. People remember what it's like to, you know, be at the grandmother's house on the porch, or be on the stoop somewhere, or, you know, sit and talk with friends on the porch. I mean, that's very old school, very black, very, very black.
Until you're having a bad day and you call 911. Whoop, whoop.
Who's called 911?
I'm just saying, they're going to catch Babs on a bad day.
I had cops on the porch last weekend. They were walking the beat.
I don't know, but you didn't have cops on your porch. You invited cops on your porch. Two totally different things. Babs, nope. Babs did not have cops on her porch. She did, but she didn't.
They were walking the beat, and I invited them up.
See, that's cool. That's community right there. And they just welcomed the idea of exchanging conversation.
Yes, and everything. They did. And so when the other cops were back in the neighborhood, he stopped by again. Now the cops had to go do some cop business a couple of houses down from me the other day, Harry. And when they finished with the domestic dispute stuff, they came on down the street and said hi.
Well, right, because they need people in the community to not just the system, but to know that there's people in the community that support them, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. I do support
them. It's crazy.
I always support the cops, but, you know, when they wrong, they wrong.
Does the Convention and Visitors Bureau have your location so that people could pass by?
Harry, I got a plan for the porch. I'll tell you about it later. Once I formalize it, you're going to be like, okay. Okay, Baz, that makes all the sense in the world.
It's going to be on the top 10 places to visit in New Haven.
You're going to be like, I would never do that, but okay. I was like, no, I would. These people would not be at my house, on my porch, or on my deck. Harry, I love company. I love entertaining. How about that?
Yeah.
I love to entertain. I mean, it's just you know, to be in fellowship and communion with people. That's really what I like.
I mean, yeah, and I have to remember, like now that it's hot, there's kids playing outside and everything, and some of them just come and sit on my front steps, and they're drinking water, they're talking, and I'm wondering to myself, why are they on my front step? They're up, you know, they live right up from me. Why are they sitting on my steps to have a conversation? And I always have to remember, when I was a kid, I used to go everywhere.
I sit on other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Me too, Harry.
I used to be all over the place.
No, I did. I used to do that too. And, you know, kids know we're safe. I mean, they intuitively know the safe house. Like, you're not going to run out there and, like, get off my stoop. Now, I'm sure there are people in your complex that have done that.
Yeah. Yeah, some people in my complex don't want kids. I think playing, period. I'm like, they're kids. What are they supposed to do? Actually, my complex should have a playground and stuff like that for them, but they don't.
Oh, you don't have a playground?
No. You know, we have a location in the center where a playground belongs. It's just a big sand spot. And you know, a playground belongs there.
So why don't you petition for a playground? Seriously. Because if you got a lot of kids, like, where do they go play? Where do they go play, Harry?
Well, they have to go to the neighborhood park, which is quite a hike.
So you know, y'all should put a little playscape in. And you can put one in that is all kid-friendly.
We're in the middle of trying to change everything. There is a lawsuit and everything. The people who run the complex are old, angry white people who...
which is America.
No, you know,
ain't that America? Yes, it is.
And I'm not using the race card to just throw it out there like that. No, these people really...
First of all, there's no race card because this ain't a game. That's
right. These people really are really bothered by people who don't look like them.
That's America. Harry, welcome to America.
I know.
Have you been much time in America?
spend the good part of my life in America, but
yeah, well, then you know.
But these people are really
not a surprise.
You know, but I've dealt with soft racism a lot in my life. This is hard.
Yeah,
racism. It's like in your face.
Listen, we have to tell people there are levels to this thing.
there are levels.
There are levels to this. This is what they don't understand, Harry. There are levels to this. And you're right. There's soft racism, passive-aggressive racism. Yep. I don't really understand racism. My bad racism.
Probably the worst one is I don't understand.
I don't understand.
How about you start with treat people the way you want to be treated?
Oh, they don't get that, Harry. Because they have to see you as one of them.
Yeah, but if you don't start there, you're racist.
Yeah. No, listen. At least people stop touching black people's hair.
No, they don't. They haven't. Bella's hair gets touched all the time, and I tell her, don't let people touch your hair.
I know. I used to have that conversation with my daughter, Brianna. I'm like, don't let people touch your hair. And nope. They'd be all in it. I was like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, that you are not an attraction when you walk into a building and you're the only one with your hair. Just don't touch. Don't touch me, don't touch my hair.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, it is weird. I don't know. It's different. I guess I was going to say it's different for us, but all we are is living. It's not different for us. Try to make sense of the craziness. But yeah, so I have a serious problem at the complex over there, right? So we'll see. And on my video of my car sinking into the hole, mm-hmm. The condo president is actually standing there as my car is sliding into the hole, and he's just standing there watching it.
Well, what do you want him to do, Harry?
He could have said, hey, listen, your car is sliding.
Oh, Harry, you already know he ain't feeling you.
He didn't go knock on my door. He's just standing there as the car slides.
Harry, you want him to be something that he ain't, which is interested, kind, and human.
It's like, why would he just watch?
Because he don't like you. Even if I didn't like you, Harry, I'd be like, listen, your car is sliding.
Yeah, because I was watching the video, it took about 15 minutes for it to completely slide into the hole that opened. So I'm 2 seconds away. You could have said,
I don't know what you expect from people who don't dig you. I just think that's a waste of your energy and time to be thinking, oh, they're gonna what? They're not gonna do anything. They're gonna watch your car slide into the sinkhole.
Unbelievable.
And then be in their houses laughing, like, did you see that car fall in the sinkhole? Serves it right.
and I, you know, last night, well, in the evening, early evening, I was arguing with my insurance company, Liberty Mutual. I've been trying not to say who they are, but they've made me have to jump through hoops. I have total coverage on my car.
So you know what? You might part of that deal, make them be a sponsor of the show.
And they've made me jump through hoops. And yesterday they said, the guy called me and said, you have to return your car by the 18th, right? So tomorrow. He said, because, there's nothing wrong with your car. You could drive it. I said, has it been checked? No, it hasn't been checked. I'm like,
how do you know it can drive?
Yeah.
Like, how does he know?
I'm like, so what are you saying? He said, no. Well, the mechanic, the body shop said that the body looks fine. I said, yeah, but it was in a hole. So do you know if the drivetrain, anything was messed up? And he's like, no, they're going to check it tomorrow. So I said, so you're going to rephrase what you said to me, right? And he said, what do you mean? You said, Mike, there's nothing wrong with my car. Since this call is being recorded, I want you to say, Mr. Droz, the body of your car doesn't seem damaged, but we haven't checked whether there's anything mechanical wrong with your car. So, after the check tomorrow, if there's nothing wrong, you could go pick up your car.
Oh, man, Harry, that's a teachable moment. They should use this in all their training classes.
I'm like,
and what he said.
I apologize, Mr. Droz, if I said it wrong. It's not my intention. No, you intended to do this. You intended to tell me there's nothing wrong with my car to go pick it up without checking it. You know, so Karen's like, they don't know. They call the wrong person.
That was a good teachable moment, Harry. I know if they recorded that, they're going to use that in all their training classes. And if they don't, they're stupid. Because that was some good lesson right there. That was masterclass.
Yeah, so hopefully, look, I don't want to be in this rental car.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
And I told them.
And you know what? It might be a good thing that your car is not damaged. It might not even be damaged.
Right. That's what I hope. It's not damaged, right? So, and I told him, and I said, and before we end this call, I want you to also say, Mr. Joseph, there's something wrong with your car. You don't have to return the rental on the 18th. You will have the rental until your car is fixed.
Yeah.
And he said that.
Okay, good.
You know, because it's, what are you doing? Calling me and making generalizations about a car you haven't checked.
Yeah, they called the wrong one, baby.
anyway, so... yeah, so, I mean, it's always fun to argue with people, though. It's like Joe Ugly called me.
Uh-oh, when?
Yesterday.
Oh, shoot. While you were on air?
No, in the evening. And, you know, we were talking, but he always starts something, and then he wants to get off the phone, because I always upset him. And I'm always, I always thought, but Joe, thank you for calling. I was kind of bored. I really appreciate you making it interesting this evening.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
He's like, I hate you.
I didn't listen to him this morning because I tend to listen mostly when I have to go to physical therapy, and that's on Wednesdays. So I listen on Wednesdays, and he was going on about how nigger is his favorite word.
Yeah, we've discussed it. I hate the word. I talked to my son-in-law about not having Bella say the word. I get the whole, oh, we're taking the word back stuff.
Harry, I stopped using the word for the better part of my life. And then I think in the last couple of years, I just kind of use it in my personal conversations with my friends.
Well, right? That's a different thing, right?
But I used to hate the word, but now I actually like, this is going to sound really weird. I actually like a word that white people will get slammed for. That gives me some, you know what I mean? Like, I sort of like that there's this word out there that they can't say. And then they get called out on it at every turn. Like, everybody calls them out on it. Like, they can't use it. But then they see us use it, and it just drives them crazy. Now, they can say it behind closed doors all they want. And then some of them will try to do it in public and get their ass whooped. But for the most part, that's a word that they can't really use in their everyday practical conversations with us. They can talk to other white folks, and other white folks would be hella uncomfortable, right? But
yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying.
Look, where I grew up, it was used all the time, every other word, okay? Growing up, I used it with my friends all the time. But I mean, after I just, once I got out of that mentality of just using it for I don't even know, ridiculousness, to greet your friend and all of this stuff, and I don't think
I'm with you, Harry. I'm with you because my grandmother asked me to do two things in my life. To don't call people niggers or call black people niggers, and to vote.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, it was a couple of years ago. Bella was like 7. And, they had pulled up to my house, and it was in a song and everything, but her and her father were singing a song, and I'm like, Bella, please don't say that word. Don't say that word because people are going to think it's okay to use that word on you. And then you're going to have to bail Papa out of jail.
Papa, what does it mean to bail you out of jail?
I can't do it.
Bank and shake all your money out.
I don't ever want to live in, well, not me, but that somebody else's ambiguity that they're confused on whether they could use a word, and because, let me tell you, a lot of people aren't that smart. And they'll think, well, and I've heard it actually plenty of times on the internet when people are trying to excuse themselves from using the word. It's like, well, you know, it's just a word. No, the history of the word just holds too much.
It holds too much pain and power. Yeah. I get it, Harry. But I still, there's something about it that white folks constructed, and now they can't use it.
Yeah, but they're the confused ones I'm talking about, right?
Oh, you're talking about us.
They're confused.
I go back and forth. I used to take a hard and fast rule with it, but now I don't. I have a different, and I don't know what the difference is. I don't know what has changed for me. I just think the fact that, you know, I think for me, the fact that they take this word and they just use it as a hammer and just like, you know what? Yeah, you gave us this word, and guess what? We don't turn the tide on it. So I get it.
But
whenever
I'm with my childhood friends, it still goes on in conversation, and it's just because, you know, we grew up together. There's a comfort zone there, and nobody's checking themselves, right?
Right.
Same thing with, I still got family members who use it, every other word and stuff like that. But you know what? Yes, they're comfortable, but I'm not comfortable with them saying it. So in the whole, whenever I'm with people like that, I'm like, man, they still haven't grown up. That's what I'm thinking in my head. They haven't grown out of speech, or they haven't added any words to their vocabulary, or that they have to continue to use this. But, you know, I try not to judge. Well, it just bothers me.
I don't know if that's the case. I think when people use that word, they're in the comfort of their company with their friends, that it's a different.
It is different.
Because they're not using that word, like adults are not using that word in other spaces.
Right? Yeah, in everyday speech.
Like, you know, this is what I you know, somebody said something yesterday that got on my nerves, and they're talking about, and I didn't want to, you know, white folks have a whole different vibe about us, and just because white folks observe something or say something doesn't make it true. Yesterday, somebody, a white person had said such and such doesn't code switch, that they speak the way they speak the truth. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how the hell do you know? How do you know that they're not code switching, even though you think that how they're speaking is how they speak all the time? You don't know when they get in their intimate circles what this language is. What you imagine is code switching. See, this is how white folks get it twisted. They think code switching is talking more like them, and then we talk like us. That's not what it is.
Right.
It's a comfort level of how we are with one another, however way we use the language. Well, that's the thing about white people that gets under my skin, that they think they know because they've been around black people, but you don't really know because you ain't black people.
Yeah.
It just got on my nerves, but I didn't call it out. I didn't. I was like, you know what? Because I'm tired of checking white people on their whiteness. I don't do it anymore. I let them be white people.
It is what it is, right? And, I could care less how people speak as long as they're not offending me. Honestly. And the code switching and everything. I hate when people are taking ownership of language and making it sound like there's a pretense in who you are.
Right. And it's not. It's just that, you know what? When we in white spaces, we use the language of white people. When we with our people, we use the language of our people. Because it'd be too much explaining to do.
Yeah.
To try to bring y'all up to speed on language.
A lot.
And what we mean when we say I.
No, you're right. And it's the same thing like in the Hispanic community. I've always been uncomfortable, right? When you're in a group and all of a sudden the Hispanics start speaking Spanish amongst themselves. And I'm like, I'm always feeling uncomfortable, but that's their zone. That's their comfort zone. So they fall into their comfort zone with their friends. I'm not going to say it's never an offense because I've heard stupid things said in Spanish, but usually it is just the comfort. And people judge people for that. You know, don't talk Spanish around people.
Which I think is outrageous, because when English speaking people go to countries that the language is not English.
I know, right?
Stop you never hear English. Other languages say, don't speak English.
Yeah.
Unless you're France, because the the French just think you should just be speaking French.
Little rude.
Damn you.
They're
how
little
can
rude.
Where you from?
Yeah, they're a little rude.
But they weren't to me when I was there. Like, they couldn't have been nicer to me. But that doesn't mean that they're not rude. They are.
Well, they're rude because they think we're rude. Okay, so that's...
And we are. And
right.
Americans are assholes.
And we are. So they start off profiling any American. And we probably heard that.
Oh, I would say so.
I don't mind being considered a rude American. It is what it
well,
is.
Well, I'm not a rude American, so
you're a nice
you
one. You're a nice one. Not,
I'm
not
a rude
me.
American, and I don't like. And I don't just like the label rude. I don't like the label American by itself, because I think black sets me apart from American. I do. I think black sets me apart. And that comes with a whole different kind of cachet, I think. You know, and it comes with a whole different vibe. So I don't.
Yeah,
I don't
but you think
American.
That the outside, I was going to say outside world, but you think those people are the outside, the other countries see you as a black American, or they're just seeing you as an American when they...
I think some countries do, both. I think some do. I think some see me as American only. I mean, I know that when I'm in France, and in other countries, I'm treated very differently as a black American than they treat Africans. Africans
okay.
are treated
yeah,
very
yeah.
differently. They're treated very differently. And they know by virtue of how I look that I'm not from Africa. Right? They know I'm some kind of hybrid, right? So there's a difference. There's a difference on how they treat, you know, but black people as a rule are treated differently across the world anyway, right? Like there are places that just, whether you're African or African American, they just don't like black people, you know.
Well, I don't have the experience that you do outside of the United States, but driving in America from state to state, I'm treated differently. So yeah, I get it.
And that's very, very real.
Oh yes.
That's very, very real. That's very, very real. That's very, very real. So yeah, I don't know. I think in my old age, as I'm aging, I just have a different, you know, I look at the world very, very differently now than I did at any other point in my life, right? And I think the Muhammad Ali quote is true, that if you're still looking at the world where you are now in the same way that you did when you were in your 20s, then you have not grown, you know, paraphrasing. And I've grown and seen enough things, so I feel like, okay, I can turn the tides on this a little bit. So.
Yeah, I mean, actually, see, listening to you talk, you're talking from experience and actually living, you know. A lot of people, especially, I'm kind of, I like seeing the young people stand up, but a lot of the young people that stand up aren't talking from a place of experience, so it seems empty a lot of times, because they confuse a lot of the environment and what it is now, what it was 40 years ago, what it was this. They're confused, and they equate different time periods as the same and everything, so it's kind of empty for me. But listening to somebody like you, who I know has, you know, been through life and knows what you're talking about, you're talking actually about things that happened to you, it's a totally different thing. I love watching young people stand up, but I wish they would educate themselves a little more on life. Or speak to people. You know what? Babs Porch. She gives master classes there.
We need to just quit.
If you don't know, you better ask somebody. Babs Rose-Ivy. Babs Rose-Ivy.
Harry, you need to quit. You need to quit. Well, I love the energy of these young people because it gives me opportunity to sit down. Right? It gives me opportunity to go. No, seriously.
Wow, that makes so much sense.
If these young people are not out here stomping these streets and carrying the torch forward, then old dogs like me would have to do it. And then that would take time away from what I want to be doing. So I'm happy for these young folks out here.
Oh, yeah.
And holding it down. And, you know, I'm happy to feed them information whenever they need it. But, listen, it has always been young people. It has always been young people stomping these streets. So, I mean, Martin, Malcolm, Jesse, the Panthers, all these folks was young.
They were young. Congress passed an official holiday, Juneteenth.
Yeah, they passed Juneteenth, but critical race theory, which explains Juneteenth, can't be taught. We like the idea of Black history. We don't like the reality of Black history.
Oh, what was it? I can't fully agree with that, but I will say this about, like, on the Joe Ugly show this morning, he said, so they give us a holiday, but they won't pass voting rights.
That's my point, Ed, yeah. that they want Juneteenth to be some kind of appeasement, but they don't want to teach, American history in its truth, which includes Black people, indigenous people, people from other cultures. You know, you cannot call enslaved people guest workers. That's not what they were. They didn't go to the shores of Africa and just put a sign-up sheet and said, who wants to come over and be a guest worker?
They volunteered to get on the ships.
In these early Americas. And when I mean Americas, I mean all of the Americas, you know. So to teach that is wrong, right? I mean, it's just a lie. And not to teach the truth of slavery and enslavement of people, not to teach what has happened to the indigenous people of this country, not to teach why the Japanese weren't turned in the 1940s. Like, it's just wrong. And when you don't teach the truth, you get a bunch of dumb people running the country. You get stupidity.
Yeah.
You know, that woman, Ms. Green, the rep from Texas, she had the nerve to say, oh, I had no idea about the Holocaust until I went to the museum. Harry, that is crap.
But you see, that lady doesn't belong in Congress at all, right?
Yeah, so, but people voted for people voted for her, Harry.
I know,
whether she belongs or not.
But you know, there's a lot of people I feel that way about. There's a lot of people I feel that way about. But she just sticks out as like a sore thumb because she can't close her mouth.
But I don't want her to close her mouth because I want her to be rooted out. I want her and those crazies like that to be rooted out and their ignorance to be on full display.
Yeah, that's why.
Because that is the only way that we can put a light of truth on that kind of foolishness.
Right. And that's why I'm always saying the solution, like people want to curtail free speech, and I'm like, no. The solution to bad speech is more speech, because the more somebody sticks their foot in their mouth, the quicker you could get rid of them, or the consequences.
Because there's a bunch of them, but I do believe that there are more better people than her and her type out there in the world. I think people were asleep at the wheel when she got elected. And I think they won't be.
I think so too. I don't think she gets reelected. I mean,
oh, I don't think she gets reelected either. But I think, but there's a whole bunch of them that can't get reelected, Harry, and particularly the ones that know better but are toting this rhetoric that they know better. They know better. You can't tell me, Harry.
I don't know how she got elected. Honestly,
your whole life you gonna say you had no idea about the Holocaust until you went to the museum? What school did you go to, girl? You missed that class.
No, well, you see, and
but that was right up there teaching enslaved people or guest workers.
And this is a totally different. This isn't Holocaust denial, right? It's a totally different thing. This she's actually saying that she's oblivious to anything that's been taught. I mean. Let's face it, our history in schools is not that great, but there's certain things that were taught. And she's oblivious to it. She's, look, I know people have been skating through school. I went, and this is proof of it.
Harry, this is not just skating. This is, you have not to have shown up.
Yeah, and they passed you. Come on. Like Biden was saying, like, come on, man.
Come on, man.
This
come
lady on, man. Can't be in Congress.
Come on. But
come on, man.
So many of them. I would dare say that whole GOP.
Well, yeah, but not, she's a special.
They're not censoring her, Harry. They are letting her run wild with that stuff.
Well, I think
they're letting her.
I think they have to.
But they want to censor, but they want to take down, what's her face? The one who is actually smart, but won't carry that lie about the election. She's like, it's a lie. I'm not gonna.
Oh, well, Cheney, Liz Cheney.
Yes, Liz Cheney. Like, and she's like, I don't care. Take me down. But I'm gonna still stand on my soapbox and say I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but what I'll say about Liz Cheney is that her father is Darth Vader.
Yeah, but Darth Vader is ill and he ain't out here.
Yeah, but let's remember who Darth her father was.
Well, they don't seem to remember Harry, because they ousted her with no problem. They were like, "Oh, you out." They didn't worry about that. You know, they didn't worry about it. See, their party has taken over, and they got to figure out. But you know what? They'll live and learn. I mean, they didn't learn their lesson with the Tea Party, but they're gonna learn their lesson with these crazy.
Paul is harassing me with texts. Paul, wait till you're in the studio. We'll debate then.
Why, what is Paul saying?
He's trying to equate Miss Green with me, and, you know, that's not happening.
Oh.
We'll debate in the studio.
I ain't worrying about y'all. Y'all do your thing. All right, we got to do the station identification.
Oh, yeah.
959.
You're listening to Love Babs Love Talk on WNHH LP 103.5 FM, your home for community radio, streaming live on havenindependent.org, and we're streaming live right off the green. I'm not going to tell you where, because I don't want you to come get me.
Harry, next year, we gotta do some live stuff from the green. We got to do something. We got to get in on the International Festival, or we got to do something. Or we should have a WNHH festival where we just hang out.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a Brian Slatery thing.
Okay.
He has all the equipment that
we should do.
Could
we should
go
have
places.
A, we should have a WNH day in the streets.
Man on the street.
Just hang out on the streets, play some music, put some vegan hot dogs out.
Ask Yale vegan, people common some, questions they can't answer.
So some vegan burgers, you know, a little celery, carrots. You know, we should do that. Harry. We should have a WNHH day on the street. Just, you know, once a year. It's time. It's time for us to really, you know, get out there a little bit more. Do some stuff.
Yeah, Paul. Paul.
The power of the number.
Brian.
The power of the station. Harry's like, I ain't doing it, but Brian might.
Oh, I'll broadcast it. I'll broadcast it.
Yeah, we should do something. Really. We should dance in the street, take over a street, and just WNHH day somewhere. Anywhere, I don't care. What part of the city have we not taken over yet?
Yeah, you and Brian, you should put together one of those things you guys do.
A jazz wear? Yes.
Call it WNHH Day.
Yeah.
Broadcast it. See how I solved it?
Oh, here's my text from PBZ.
Yeah, he's giving a thumbs up. He's giving a thumbs up.
Yes, yes. We should do it. We got to do it. It's time.
You know what it's going to cost?
I know. Well, I was like, Paul, you can spring me some damn vegan hot dogs and burgers. Come on now. And you know what? Oh, hey, Harry, Nathan's. You know Nathan's, the hot dog people? You know, boardwalk people?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
They got a vegan hot dog.
Yeah, that's not a hot dog.
Harry. I'm just
that's a veggie.
I can't wait. Listen, I'm hearing from the reviews that they're really good. Rival that of their regular hot dogs, that people are really digging them. So I haven't had a chance to get them yet. I can't wait. I'm just saying.
I'm not buying it, but
I don't understand. You eat dead animals, but you won't eat vegetables?
No, I'll eat vegetables. I just don't want to mess with my childhood, you know, food, my favorites.
But if they can make it feel and taste just like your childhood food and be better for you, you can't turn that down.
Yeah. But the thing is that I'm a person who's set in his ways, right? So
nobody is set, Harry. The circumstances can change your life.
That's true. But when it comes to food,
By the way, if
you eat a vegan, are you vegan?
If you eat a vegan,
yeah.
You mean like sex?
No. Well, that's vegan. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Okay, this is a morning show. Harry, I don't eat vegans. I eat vegans.
I'm saying, yeah, but like if you eat a vegan, so let's say
no,
the animals are vegan.
A vegan is a human animal. Like we're animals, so we are. Yeah. We have mothers and fathers.
Yeah, but the animals have a vegan diet.
Most animals do.
Right, so
chickens, except when they feed chickens meat.
Yeah, who feeds chickens meat?
Poultry farms, Harry.
Oh my God. I gotta check. Well, Purdue doesn't. I buy Purdue. Purdue is one of those organic companies. But, but I'm saying so a fish has a vegan diet. A chicken has a vegan diet. Cows have a vegan diet. So I think I'm safe. I'm 2 degrees. I'm a 2-degree vegan. Just 2 degrees away
what?
From.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'll let you say that. Okay. You're 2 degrees away. That means you know me and Paul.
Well, and the cow I'm gonna eat, right? So. He was vegan. No, so I don't know. I'm a vegetable Nathan's hot dog.
Yes, Harry.
I bet that the hot dog eating contest, you've seen that, right? Mm-hmm. The Nathan's hot dog eating. I bet you if, I think the record holder has eaten like 73 hot dogs.
Oh, God.
In 10 minutes.
I would throw up right now and I'm not even.
I bet you if it's veggie, he's only going to fit 40.
It'd be better on his colon.
It'd be better on his colon, but it fills you
and
a lot faster.
And his cholesterol and all the other things that, you know.
I don't even know how that's humanly possible, 70 plus hot dogs.
I don't either, Harry. I don't even want to know.
Ugh.
The nitrates alone ought to kill you.
I think the lady who has the record for hot dogs, she's eating like 48. It's like insane. She's like a toothpick. How do they fit? Where does it go?
I don't know. I don't. I think I could do a pie eating contest.
A pie eating contest? What do you mean? A pizza pie or a...
Like a whole pie. I think I could eat two pies by myself. I mean, but I'd have to eat like 20.
No, but this, you're talking about apple pie or pizza pie?
Any old pie. Oh, no, like a berry pie. Like an apple pie or a blueberry pie or a cherry pie. I could do that, I think. I don't know. I probably can't.
No, that's a hard one to look at. That's a hard one. I'm trying to think what I could keep eating. I could do buffalo wings. That's something I could.
I think I could do 10 at the most, and that's it. I don't think I'd be good. I wouldn't be good at these things, eating that like that. I just wouldn't be good.
I'm trying to think, do I even finish my plate? Like, if I get a large platter at Buffalo Wild Wings, which is like 16 wings, I never finish.
What's really good, Harry?
I can't.
Buffalo cauliflower.
Buffalo cauliflower. What's really good is cauliflower mashed. Well, not mashed potato. Cauliflower mashed cauliflower.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. No. You're right. You're absolutely right.
The problem is when you're the only one who is gonna eat it, you don't buy it. Well, I should.
If you don't tell people that it's cauliflower, and you just serve it. They wouldn't even know. They'd be like, "Oh, this is good."
I did that to Karen one day. She wasn't happy with me. Because she could tell right away. She's like, "Bleh." Her and my son are really picky. My daughter and I could eat anywhere. We'll eat any. Well, we'll try anything. We won't eat anything.
No, you won't, Harry.
No, we won't eat anything. But we will try. We've tried everything. I guess they tried anything. I haven't eaten, like, I haven't seen a cat on a stick or anything like that. But, you know.
And I don't know why we'd be grossed out about that. We eat all kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, right.
But I'm not doing that. No, I'm not. I can't eat cats and dogs and hamsters and...
Like, I bought this survival book, right?
Don't, please.
Which tells you how to...
How to gut
animals that you kill, right? And the book mostly focuses on what they call limerats. Squirrels. And I'm like, oh, man, the apocalypse is going to be hard if I got to eat a squirrel.
I just feel like, Harry, the apocalypse, grocery stores will still be stacked with canned goods and stuff. I just feel like all the grocery stores in the world, I just can't imagine that. I mean, at some point.
But who's going to deliver it to you, Babs? That's the problem. It's not that the warehouses won't have canned goods, it's that there's nobody to drive a truck. There's zombies.
I don't know, Harry. I just feel like I just don't think I need to eat squirrels.
Yeah, but like most supermarkets keep a 2-week stock, right? And the trucks come. After 2 weeks, there's no more canned goods.
I know, but
all you have is the limerats.
Then I'd have to just, this is why I'd be vegan, because we'd have a garden. The gardens would still grow, Harry. You can still get eggplant and peppers and lettuce.
Yes, yes, but everybody's desperate. So when you go to get something out of your garden, it's been stolen already. So everybody's desperate for food. Literally, the only thing you're going to have control of is what's in your home, right? So if you created a home garden, which I looked into, a basement garden, I thought about doing something like that, but then there's bugs. I can't do bugs. I'm not going to survive just because of bugs.
Bugs or zombies? Bugs or zombies?
I'll take my chance with a zombie, I think, because I could.
Oh, my God, Harry. Are you kidding me?
It's the same thing. Like for instance, I always go pit bull or rat. I'd rather fight a pit bull. I'm terrified of rats. I'd rather go to blows.
All right, you do understand that rats are in comparison to the size of a pit bull.
I just
like a rat won't kill you. A pit bull will kill you.
I think I have my. I'm better off fighting a pit bull because I'm less scared. But a rat, I just see it like chewing my eyelids off or something.
Harry, how?
I'm terrified of rats. And it's just PTSD.
What are you doing by the time a rat climbs up on you?
Oh, my God.
Harry, you think I'm going to be that thing on
I'm gonna
the wall.
I'm going to be frozen as it eats my nose off. Right? And it's PTSD from living in the projects in New York, right? These huge rats.
You know what? This is why therapy is necessary.
Zombie rats in New York.
You can head clean out all this foolishness.
Hey, look, I swear to God, when I was a kid.
Oh, no. I'm with you, Harry. Snakes are the thing that do it for me. You can outrun a snake. Like, no, they don't go in a straight line. They have to go zigzag. And they don't have any arms. So, I mean, you can literally kill a snake. But
I saw a video yesterday of a lady sitting in her chair on her porch. Well, on the steps of her porch. And it's in Florida.
Florida is Jurassic Park.
I know. So a snake, a python, just right towards her. And it just leaped out to bite her. And she caught the snake before it bit her in the face.
Yeah.
But it's like you're chilling on your porch. The snake attacks you fast.
That's why they have these enclosed porches. Because
I can't do Florida.
It's not the snakes. It's them damn alligators. I can't abide alligators.
Yeah,
right.
My brother's been begging me to move to Florida. That is not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. He must don't know you.
And have you seen the roaches of Florida?
Oh! If it's not the alligators, it's them snakes. If it's not the snakes, it's the bugs. If it's not the bugs, they have a bear problem.
They're having a bear problem too?
Yes, they have a bear problem.
Well, you got to try to steer them towards the gators and they can work it out.
Well,
our guest is here. Okay, I'm going to
shut down and come back.
Gonna shut down a second and we'll be right back. You're listening to Love Babs Love Talk on WNHH LP 103.5 FM. Your home for community radio, of course. It's all different now that I'm in the studio. Nothing's going to be smooth. Here we go.
Wheels keep spinning to the morning light.
Oh, good morning, beautiful people. Welcome back to the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk. I got guests! Woo! And they are from Workforce Alliance and the American Job Center. Hello! Unmute yourselves.
Hello.
And unmute yourself. Is it?
You know, I should know this by now. Yes.
I know. We all do it. Is it how do you pronounce it? Kalia? Kalua?
Kalia.
Kalia. Is Burgess, who is the program director for the CEO Project. Is that what it's called?
Project CEO.
And Ann Harrison is the communications director.
Correct.
All right. So y'all got a big thing coming up tomorrow. You've got a summer youth. Is it summer youth? Job initiatives of some sort, right?
It's our career community resource fair. On tomorrow.
Okay. And so tell me about that. What is that designed to do?
So what's our Career Community Resource Fair? Our goal is to get the Project CEO word out there, and we want our youth to connect with employers and with community partners. And we want our youth to just walk away with a greater connection of the AJC. So that's the goal of tomorrow's event of the Career and Community Resource Fair.
Because there's a lot of good jobs out there right now. Like a lot.
Yes, a lot.
Mm-hmm. And the wages have gone up. Like employers are willing to, you know, put a little more money to these. It's not just minimum wage. Like it's well over minimum wage, I think. Am I correct to say that?
Right, yes. There are. Everyone knows there's a lot of job openings out there. What we try and do is connect people to quality jobs, job quality, as well as job quantity. So the employers who are coming tomorrow, we believe bring that quality with them, both in terms of wages, in terms of possibility to advance within a company. And as Kalia said, sometimes it's not just about the job. It's often about connecting to other resources. And she mentioned the AJC. That means the American Job Center. So all day, every day, we are offering assistance to connect to jobs, connect to training, and connect to those other kind of wraparound support services.
What do some of the wraparound support services look like?
So for some of the support services that we provide can be bus cards, it can be exam fee, uniform, gift cards, assistance for transportation, plan for driving lessons. That can be some of the support that we provide with the Project CEO program.
Mm-hmm. And the Project CEO is youth driven. What is the age range for that?
So the age range is 16 to 24, and it's for out-of-school youth.
And what do you mean by out-of-school youth? Like they can't be high school students. They have to be.
Right.
So how do you get that at 16, 16, 17, 18? Like, shouldn't they be in school? Like, what is happening?
We do have some that graduate at that age, and then there are some who unfortunately drop out at that age. So for out of school youth.
Okay.
Right. We say they're disconnected from work and school. So, they may have dropped out. They may be parenting. They may be in the foster system. They may just, as Kalia said, they may have graduated early. They may have tried college and it didn't work out. They may already be out of college, right? Because it goes up to age 24. It's really, trying to connect them back to work and possibly school. And Kalia can also talk about work experience, which is a huge component of Project CEO.
Okay.
Yes, a lot of our, many of our youth, they do enroll into our work experience where they work in some, could be administrative assistant, healthcare, and then when they're placed into the work experience, the internships, like we like to call it, a lot of them are hired through that, through the internships, and they're able to make a living for themselves and provide for themselves. So work experience is a big component for Project CEO with connecting our youth with employment.
And so once young people are employed at this particular age range, how do y'all help them with how to set up a bank account, how to deal with their money, how to pay bills? Like, how do they learn these kinds of things if you don't learn them at home or in your family?
Yes, we do. We have virtual workshops where we like to, we have workshops such as talk about financial literacy, where we go into that of setting up a banking account, how to budget, because that's big. That's even big for adults, So we really go into that of how to do budgeting, and our workshop is with financial literacy is really, really big, where they have to do homework assignments and set up a budget. So we would like to see that and go over it. So that's big with our workshop, financial literacy. We also have workshops for them to talk about rebranding themselves and also entrepreneurship, and we have workshops for mental health.
Oh, okay. Because mental health is a big, big deal. So how many young people have y'all seen or how many young people come through your doors? How do y'all count that? Do you stay on top of those kinds of numbers?
We do. So, well, Kalia actually can answer how many she serves in a year.
Yes.
So this year, since the pandemic, we enrolled 70 new youth since the pandemic. And with the goal of this year of 150, so we're very happy about that.
If we weren't in pandemic mode, what would your numbers be? Because obviously everything is shut down and things are virtual and you can't really go to many places. I mean, things are starting to open up. But before the pandemic, how many young people were y'all serving?
Well, last year we served close to 200. We did 175.
Okay.
So we really do.
Yeah, in a typical year, Babs, we all
So we have 4 American Job Centers across South Central Connecticut. And in a typical year, we serve 16,000 people. So, and those are, a lot of those people are self-service people. They come into what we call our career resource hubs. They use our computers. They get help with on the spot with resumes. They may come in for a recruitment event. And we're slowly getting back to that in person. We've gone all virtual with our recruitment events. But we're open now for appointments in those resource hubs to come in and use the computers. So we're looking to bring people back in as much as possible. And this event tomorrow from 11 to 2 at our New Haven location is as much about Project CEO as letting people know we're open, come back. You know, we have so much that we can offer now.
Mm-hmm. And so what's your relationship like with the employers who come to you and say, or do you have to go recruit them, or do they know to come to you and say, you know, we're looking for employees?
It's really both. We have a team of business services representatives who work in certain sectors. So we have someone dedicated to healthcare. We have someone dedicated to manufacturing. We have someone who works with IT. We have someone who works in with big companies like Amazon and FedEx on distribution and logistics. So those companies know to come in, and we've continued to do a lot with them. But they're always out there working with the chambers, working with, we're really trying to work more with small businesses, Black and brown owned businesses, to really make sure that they know that they can access the same services, whether it's, you know, having us pay to have someone get work experience while giving them some extra help, or if they bring someone on, they can do on the job training, same thing, we would subsidize the wage, or if they're just simply looking for good people, people who are job ready. So we like to say when businesses look for good people, they find Workforce Alliance.
And now, do you all do job readiness stuff? Like, do you bring, like, people walk in raw, have no real work history?
Yeah, so Kalia can talk about what they do with youth.
So we have put together a job readiness curriculum. We put together this year a new, one of our staff have put it together for us. And like I said, and that goes along with our series of workshops. And we also have what we call the academy that also assists our youth with job readiness curriculum.
Mm-hmm. And so what does job readiness look like these days?
So with, it can be with our interviewing, talking about rebranding yourself, time management. That's big for our youth. We're talking about time management and
like
resume.
Show up on time.
So that's what.
Yeah. You know, make your appointments, get to them, be on time.
Especially with the new Zoom, that's been big with making sure they show up on time, you know, and look appropriate on camera. So that's been big with us.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Clay. So we've done, particularly in the last year, we've done a lot around digital literacy. So that can mean a couple of different things. As Clay said, you know, it's knowing how to present yourself on camera, right? And there are certain skills that everyone needs to know to do a job interview online or to do certain aspects of your job online. That's all new. And that's not just youth, that's adults as well. But one of the other, tying that back to support services, if folks come to us without even a laptop to use at home. A lot of people just use their smartphones for most of what they need to do online. We will provide them with a laptop and a Wi-Fi hotspot because we want people to have that hardware at home to really be able to access everything, to present themselves in the best way, and to really be competitive in the workforce.
Wow. Okay, so tomorrow is, it starts at what time?
It starts at 11 o'clock, 11 okay. to 2.
Is it virtual or is it in real life? Virtual.
It's in person. It's in person.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So if you go, you're showing our website. If you go to under Youth and Young Adults Project CEO, There you go. You'll see. So if you go to workforcealliance.biz and /project CEO, you'll take it to the event page where we show everything that's going on. We have, we'll have music on site that day. We also are going to, everyone who's committed to have a booth, whether it's an employer or a community resource, is listed on the site. You can click and check them out and figure out who you'd like
to. Okay, so these are all the people that are going to be there. Oh, yes. This is pretty. Yes. This is some heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. We've had a tremendous, tremendous response. So we are just looking forward to welcoming everyone down. The address is 560 Ella T. Grassel Boulevard in New Haven. There's parking. We're also having food trucks. So giveaways, right, Kalia? Some raffles?
Yes. Raffles, giveaways, swag bags. We're going to do LinkedIn photos. So it's a big, big deal tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay, and you're going to have a DJ and the whole thing. So is this your first big event since the pandemic?
Since the pandemic, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've done job fairs before. At the American Job Center and also out in the community, where we've welcomed several hundred people. This is first since the pandemic. It's outdoors and it's in person, so we're really excited.
Okay, and the weather will be really, really nice.
Yes.
Yeah, in the 80s. Supposed to be in the 80s.
Yes, so the weather will be really, really nice, and it's accessible because you're on the bus line.
We are.
Yes.
Like a frequent bus. Like, it's not like a bus that doesn't go, have to wait an hour, but this is a pretty frequent bus that goes by.
Yeah, and actually, if you visit our website, it'll actually tell you which bus line comes to us on the boulevard.
Okay.
While we're talking, I might look for that while we're talking.
So your goal for tomorrow is what again?
So my goal tomorrow is just to have our youth lead with a greater connection of the AJC. And I want our youth to be employed and lead with community resources. You know, since this pandemic, it's been hard for the adults. But, I think a lot of times, we kind of forget about the youth. So I want them to realize that we didn't forget about them. And that's why we provided this big event. And that's why we wasn't just focused, not just focusing on employment, but community resources. So they can know that they can, have CT Transit. They can get information on that. Or just even with several local churches, they can know about their food pantry. So we wanted them to walk away not with just employment information, but with community resources.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of graduations happening. And I'm sure there'll be kids who, even if they're going off to college, they still need a job. Do you work with kids who, they're not going to be here long, but they might just need a job for the summer. They go off to school. Mm-hmm. Is that acceptable too?
Mm-hmm. We do have youth that we have worked with that just needed a job for the summer.
Okay.
And which that was good with them because that's a great connection because, a lot of youth, they go away to school and they get back. To come back and still
have a job. So. That's how I did it when I was a kid. Go off to school, come back and still have a job my whole 4 years. Yeah, which was really helpful.
And for the summer, we also, Workforce Alliance does the Summer Youth Employment Program, which is actually a statewide initiative that provides
summer. That's still going on?
Oh, yes, that is. So in our area, absolutely. It's serving about 600 kids this summer and did the same last summer, even when we were in full swing with the pandemic. That is typically what we do is we work with individual towns. So we work with New Haven, West Haven, Hamden, and those, maybe it might be their youth bureau or it might be some other element of the city or the school system. And then they work to recruit, eligible youth and also place them into employment for the summer. Typically with city departments, you might see, our summer youth people working on the beaches in West Haven or working at different locations all over the place. working in delis, working at City Hall. So that is still absolutely going on. And same thing, if you visit our website, you'll look under youth and you'll see our summer employment information. Probably wrapped up this for this summer in terms of recruitment, but definitely keep us in mind for next year.
Okay. Because that stuff, that kind of employment goes rather quickly.
Yeah, it's typically, correct me if I'm wrong, Kalia, it's usually about 5 or 6 weeks in the summer.
Yeah.
Right?
Typically,
about 5 weeks.
Way before June, right? Or early part of June. I don't know. How does that work? Like, when should people contact you summer?
Well, they usually put it out for the summer. I know it's like before COVID, like out in January, but I believe that they put it out this year, probably around March. Okay. And then they did something recently. They put it out early because the jobs go really fast.
And that's for 14 to 21 year olds, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, for the summer.
Those could work? I didn't realize.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, so a lot of youth come back year after year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you can do that. So it's not one and done. You can, as long as you're in that age bracket, you can come back and, mm-hmm. and do that. So, okay. So, all right. So you got this event. This is your big event since the pandemic. And so does this allow you to think about how you can continue to do your job fairs and get back into the community and do some of that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Kalia really and her team really led this effort. This was their idea. They've done so much work to put this together and it's going to be great. And as you know, it's really a way to just re-engage not only youth, but, you know, their parents, their families and other people in the community to let them know. You know, we never really closed the American Job Centers. We stopped seeing people in person as everyone did, but we never stopped serving people, and we pivoted to do a lot on our website, you know, and if anyone called or anyone emailed, we always, you know, tried to do whatever we could to help them. We kept training people and placing people, but now our doors are open, people can come back in. It's still by appointment, but this is really our way to let people know, to welcome people back in.
So Kalia, you've seen I mean, you've been doing this for some time now. So what are some of the barriers and are there ever barriers that y'all can't overcome, or do you work hard? I mean, you look like you work hard to figure out any barrier, but you know, what are some of the barriers that you have to sort of try to overcome to get people employed, trained?
With our youth, some of our barriers that our youth have to deal with is like homelessness, transportation, childcare issues. Those are some of the big barriers that we had to deal with with our youth. And then it's, for some youth, there's trouble where we can't really help them right away, that they have to exit out and come back. So we can help them with those issues, but then there are youth that we do assist and help with those barriers and help them to succeed.
And so do you see youth that perhaps have been incarcerated or coming out of incarceration? Do you have a reentry component for them, or do you just put them all, their youth, and you just all of them together?
Yes, we have our eligibility is some of our youth that were involved in juvenile or the justice system. And we also have a reentry department here at the American Job Center that help us with employing our youth and also assisting our youth with their services that they need. So we do assist youth that has been in, you know, in their system. So we do have our reentry department.
And that's our next steps for reentry with Freeman Holloway and Glenn Young. You know, they're well known in the New Haven community.
They're still over there working.
Oh, they're still here. I don't think Freeman's ever going to retire. So right. So someone may come to us through Project CEO But, you know, if they let us know that they are involved, have an involvement in the criminal justice system, they may access what Glenn and Freeman do as well. So the programs really work well together. Mm-hmm. Really, it's really getting to know what each individual person needs, and, you know, how best to help them. Not everyone who comes in with a criminal history views that as a barrier, right? But, you know, we do ask, and we do want to make sure that they can access that. And I would add to what Kalia said is, you know, what do you do? What are some of the barriers? Sometimes the barrier is just lack of experience or not knowing what career path is best for a person. So Kalia and her team do a lot with figuring out what their strengths are, what their interests are, and then kind of showing them what they can do from that point. And they explore that through work experience. Many people access training. So we have a wide list of eligible programs that, you know, once you're enrolled with us, you have access to, whether it's at the community colleges or it might be at another training location. But we try to let people know where the best opportunities are for them and then help guide them along the way. I think that mentorship is a huge part of why people are successful.
Mm-hmm. And so do the businesses that come to y'all, do they come with a specific, like, we need employees to be able to do this, or we need employees with this kind of skill set or this level of education or this, that, and the other thing? And do you take that in consideration when you say yes to helping them with their employee search?
Yes. So employers obviously come to us and they give us job orders, right, that we incorporate into our database of jobs, and we're always referring people to those. But a lot of what we do with employers is to try to match them with our talent, right, our customers, and say, you know what, this person has, you know, 1 through 6 of the skills you say this job needs, but maybe 7, 8, and 9, you can train them, right? You can give them those skills. And that's where on-the-job training comes in. So we make that match, and then we subsidize the wage. So the employer becomes part of the solution to, you know, whatever skills gap exists for an individual person. So we like to involve employers in that instead of just saying, well, you know, this is what I need, and if you can't give it to me, then I'm just going to move on. We do try and make that match and help employers look at their job descriptions and look and see, you know, what would be a good fit for based on the pool of candidates that we mm-hmm. have.
Okay, so that sounds like it's a two-way street. So, you know, they may not know that they are able to do some of this training on their end, and that, you know, to get an employee might not come with every single skill set, but some of those skill sets they can provide or they can teach.
Right. Getting back to teaching on the job and helping people to earn wages while they learn on the job. And that makes for a better employee. If they feel that, right, Kalia, that they've learned a particular way of, you know, tailored to that employer's particular needs. That helps with longevity. Right. That helps with retention and advancement.
So tomorrow is really will give you some sense of is it time to do this, right? If the mm-hmm. community will show up, which I think people, of course, will show up. And gives you a sense of getting back to some normalcy around in-person connection to the population that you want to serve, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So tomorrow at 11? No, 11.
11 to 2.
At 11?
Yes.
Yep. We kick off at 11. I should mention... We expect a visit from Rosa DeLauro. We just heard yesterday from her office that she's in town and she plans to stop by.
I was with her last night.
Were you?
At a reception. Well, not with her. It was a virtual reception because she was still in D.
Yeah.
So she must be traveling now.
Yep. So we're excited for that, that she's going to swing by. We, everything, of course, is estimate, but we think she'll be by 11:30, between 11:30 and 12. So mm-hmm. we're excited for that. And she's going to, of course, want to talk to as many people as she can while she's yes. there. Mayor Elliker is also stopping by between 12 and 12:30, just to, again, yes. welcome people back, you know, talk to as many people as possible. The city department, Kalia, right, has a couple of tables as resource tables, yep. right? So the city's yeah. been a great partner with us. City departments, New Haven Adult Ed, which shares our campus on the Boulevard. So yeah, it's a lot of people are going to be there tomorrow.
Okay, this will be good. So you've got a DJ, you've got food trucks, you've got community services, support services that people can access. And you've got willing employers who are interested in hiring.
Yes, we have a yeah. little bit of everything, right, Kalia?
Yes, a little bit of everything going on tomorrow. We're super excited. We're really excited about this.
I think it'll be great. I mean, you couldn't ask for better weather. And so when a kid gets hired or a young person gets hired, do you stay with them throughout the process? Like, how long does your relationship last with them in the employment process? Like, at some point, you have to cut them loose, right? Like, some point, you're like, okay, y'all are good. But how long does that, I mean, what is that like?
So once a youth get hired, we still follow the youth for a year after for the retention information. And, of course, with youth, you kind of never let them go, to be honest. You know, the youth don't go anywhere. But we do have to do a year follow-up after the youth is hired.
Okay. And staying connected to them allows you to, if there's any problems or, you know, some interventions are needed or just some encouragement. Right.
Because
I would imagine it's mostly encouragement, to the young people. That allows you that opportunity.
Right. Yes. And definitely, youth, if you're doing things right, they refer other youth. So it's great to always have that connection, too. You know, they like to keep, if you're doing right by youth, they keep your name in the street, like I like to say.
You know, Miss Spears Burgess is good people. She'll hook you up.
That's it right there. That's what they say, too. So you want to keep that good connection with you because they will put the word out.
Okay. And so before I let you go, so tell me, Kalila, what is some of the misconceptions that people have about hiring youth, particularly this age cohort? What are some of the misconceptions?
I think one of the big misconceptions is that I think with some employers, they feel that youth, I don't think they think youth can follow through and really show up, you know?
Okay.
And it's a lot of youth that do.
That do show
follow
up.
Through and show up. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of our youth that hold down two jobs. I have a young man that's holding down three.
Wow.
You know, and I when I talk to him, I'm like, how do you do it? But he's doing it.
Because he's got a goal and he's focused and there's something he wants, right? So
right.
Yeah. You know. Okay.
And sometimes Kalia, they're taking classes, right? They might be in a training and working. Right?
Yes.
That could be the case.
Well, I so appreciate y'all coming on this morning to talk about your program. Workforce Alliance and American Job Center. I'm so glad that y'all are still in this business. And it's good to know that y'all never really missed a beat during this pandemic.
Thanks for having us.
Y'all were still holding it down for folks seeking jobs. So that's a good thing. So thank y'all. I wish y'all every success tomorrow. I hope you come back when you have another project that you're going to launch or another opportunity to gather people around employment stuff, or when you have your next big thing, come back and talk about it. Appreciate y'all.
We will anytime. Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be on the news and I'll see it. I'll hear about it.
Thank you.
So enjoy the day tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Kalia.
Thank you. Okay, thanks, Harry, for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. All right, Harry Jones, we could play us out. We are done for today. Thank y'all. So go to the Workforce Alliance. They're on Allegrasse Boulevard. Y'all know where they are. Can't miss them. Their campus is right there, just as you cross over, right hand side. I know where you are, right by Adult Ed. So yeah, so make sure y'all pop by there tomorrow, young people. And if you know young people, send them over there tomorrow, particularly if they need a job and you want them to be employed, send them over there tomorrow and be a good time. Thank y'all. All right, Harry, play us out. Thank y'all for coming.